Grab your lunch, turn up the volume, and get ready for 3 hours of sports conversation surrounding the hottest sports topics and pop culture events of the day. It's the new Sports 180. To be a part of today's show and share your thoughts, call in to 656-9900, 656-9900, or via Twitter using @Sports180. Now, with Heather Harrington, here is Josh Ward.
Good Thursday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We are excited to be with you for the next 3 hours. Man, we are loaded up today. Heather Harrington, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello. Enjoying this beautiful sunshine. Apparently, my children are walking around right now, going on a monster hunt with their bubble guns. So, if you're out here, Blount County, you better watch out. You might get a face full of bubbles.
Well, only if you're a monster, right?
Only if you're a monster, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. I hope everybody's having a great day so far. If we go 5 minutes without Owen falling off something, then we've had a successful five-minute run.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, the toddler years are not for the faint of heart. I am convinced that Woodrow is going to have CTE no matter what sport he ends up playing, just because of how many headshots he has taken. Chip tooth, just all kinds of craziness. So I feel what you're going through, but to shed some light on what we were dealing with earlier, we were talking about the show, this and that, and all of a sudden I hear, oh, bleep, and Josh is running away from the computer because Owen had fallen yet again. So, yeah, it's tough.
My wife's second child, the 4.5-month-old Max, he was up at about 2:45. So he had a rocking and rolling little night as well, and so did his dad. So we're off and running. We've got the coffee machine. It is turned up to an 11 this afternoon, and we're excited for today's guest lineup. We have Chris Lofton scheduled Woo! To join us at 12:30. He'll be part of our Call of All segment. Look forward to talking to the VFL legend at 1:30, John Wilkerson, another VFL legend if you ask me, and then Alan Bell at 2:30, just a legend for many different reasons. So we are loaded up between now and 3 o'clock with Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward. Let's take a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
And Heather, this from Adam Schefter and Diana Rossini of ESPN just a moment ago. Titans running back Derrick Henry did sign his $10.2 million franchise tender today. The two sides, the Titans and Henry's camp, are still committed to working on a long-term extension before July 15th. But Henry did sign his franchise tender today. That's at $10.2 million for this upcoming season.
Yeah, and I hope they're able to work out a fair deal, fair for both sides. And I get it. It's not fair that Todd Gurley's shortcomings and some other running backs, their shortcomings have affected Derrick Henry's price tag. And I know we talked to Joe Rexroad about that earlier in the week, but that's kind of the reality of things right now. I just hope they find a fair deal and pay Derrick Henry what he is worth and that it works for all parties, because I don't want to see him leave anytime soon. I think he's a key member of that offense, and I think that they can do some special things with him.
Heather Harrington, your Dallas Cowboys with a new contract for Aldon Smith, who was a terrific pass rusher for the San Francisco 49ers. He's had several off-field issues, and he is attempting a comeback after 4 years off the field. Aldon Smith signing with the Dallas Cowboys last night.
Yeah, this is all Jim Tomsula. He wants him. McCarthy signed off on it. This is a guy that racked up 44 sacks in 50 games. That's the upside that you're getting. That's the all-pro level that he has achieved before. The reality, hasn't played a game since 2015, is an alcoholic, will always be an alcoholic, has to battle that every single day. And for people out there that know that struggle, it's real, and it has to be dealt with very seriously and very diligently every single day. And so he put up a nice message on Twitter. We'll see how it all works out, but this is an opportunity. He was supposed to be reinstated by Roger Goodell for the 2020 season, so they are thinking that that is still a full go, but it doesn't look great from a PR standpoint, and we'll see what happens, but this is a big-time second chance, and I hope he makes the most of it. Could make $4 million if he reaches all the incentives.
Yeah, he'll turn 31 this fall. Some of the incidents that Smith has been involved with, you go back to 2012 while he was with the 49ers. He was believed to have suffered stab wounds when he was attempting to break up a fight at his Santa Clara residence. And during the incident, a couple of people were shot. He was charged with 3 felony counts of illegal possession of an assault weapon relating to the stabbing incident. The charges were later reduced. He also had another incident at the Los Angeles International Airport in which he was alleged to have claimed that he was carrying a bomb. The charges were later dropped because it was not clear that he stated that he was carrying a bomb. And then other alcohol-related issues. So he's been out of the league for 4 years, turned 31, but he was a top 10 pick. He was a really productive player, as you mentioned, an all-pro player, first team in 2012. And for him, I hope it works out. So I hope it works out for the Dallas Cowboys signing Aldon Smith. Could it work out for the Baltimore Ravens to sign Antonio Brown? We'll continue to speculate on his potential future in the NFL. But when Marquise Brown, he and Antonio are related. Hollywood Brown, who just finished up his rookie year with the Ravens, tweeted out a photo with him, Antonio, and Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
And, of course, got people talking. And Antonio played in that division. He played against the Ravens with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, still, Roger Goodell's going to have a lot to say on if Antonio Brown is able to play in the 2020 season. And that's just us assuming that we have a 2020 season. I don't know what's going to happen, but I would say this. I think Lamar Jackson, just like Tom Brady, would be a good influence on somebody like an Antonio Brown that does have some issues, has some personal issues that he needs to work through. I do feel like having that caliber of quarterback, I mean, everything about Lamar Jackson, I just love. The no one cares, work harder shirts, his attitude, the way he deals with the media. I really like everything about that guy. So I think he would be a good influence on an Antonio Brown. But that's, you talk about bringing a diva into the locker room. There's baggage there with Antonio.
There has been for sure.
Yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa was on SportsCenter on ESPN and said that he's 100% right now and ready to go. Now, he also has not given a specific recovery timeline, and there's not 100% certainty that he will be ready to play as a rookie. So if that's still in question, then I can't say that he's 100%. I guess medically, there can be a difference in that versus being ready to play football. But Tua says he's ready to go from the hip injury and surgery that he had.
Yeah, and also playing it real close to the vest on what teams he's actually had dealings with and what teams that he has been meeting with. So good for Tua. I still think this is a guy worthy of a top 3 pick. I would not pass on Tua. I do think he's going to be healthy whenever football season rolls around. And I think he's going to be a franchise changer. I've seen too much on the college game to doubt that it's going to translate to the pros.
Wimbledon was canceled yesterday, Heather.
Yep.
The British Open Open Championship now off for this this upcoming summer as it was scheduled. So we're continuing to see changes to the schedule, also including the recruiting calendar right now. The dead period has been extended through the end of May. We'll see what happens once we get to the month of June in that regard. But a lot of plans that prospects had maybe had to travel over the next several weeks, get on campuses, see coaches, and vice versa. Coaches, of course, looking for some face-to-face time. They can do FaceTime, but not face-to-face time.
Yeah. I liked what Brian Niedermeyer tweeted out the other day. Do you want just a random assortment of graphics sent to you every single day, or would you actually like to have a conversation, like a real conversation with me? So I thought that was cool. Just more and more challenges popping up every single day as it looks like April is, it's going to be a tough month. I mean, people, I know we were joking about it yesterday, like, thank goodness March was over. April is going to be hard. We'll have to reevaluate where we are, every week, week by week. But UT closing campus through summer school, they announced that yesterday. So no summer school at UT. It's just looking a little bleak right now, I would say.
Yeah, and by the way, I should point out with the Open Championship, they have not made that official, I don't believe. It's just been reported that that is going to happen, that the Open Championship will not take place as scheduled at Royal St. George's in July. At least I've not seen an official statement, but it has been reported, including by ESPN, that that will be the case. UT Knoxville did announce that they are closing on-campus classes through the summer. That was announced by Chancellor Dondi Plowman yesterday.
Yeah, and I can't remember who we were talking about it with. Maybe it was Barrett, maybe it was Braden Gall, but you have a hard time believing that football players are going to be allowed back on campus over the summer if they're not letting classes take place. Maybe we're wrong about that. Maybe they do have a contingency plan where they can get the football team back on campus and start working out without classes or anything. But, you know, if students aren't allowed on campus, you have a hard time believing that football players are going to be allowed on campus. But we don't know that yet, so I should not assume anything.
Well, I don't think it is an assumption, though, to say that it makes it more challenging.
Yes.
If the campus is shutting down with classes on campus, and Tennessee's not the only place where that's happening. I don't have a full list. I saw Ohio State announce that yesterday as well. But there's no argument. If you're not having classes on campus, that makes it more challenging. If they are encouraging students to stay away, it presents a challenge for student athletes. So that's something to monitor. And we don't know right now, but we do know that those classes on campus have been canceled through the summer. And then one other item, Tom Brady moving into Derek Jeter's 30,000 square foot mansion in Tampa. Tom Brady in the process of moving his family in there.
Man, you know, everybody is hunkering down in their 1,200, 2,500 square foot homes, and old Tom's moving into a 30,000 square foot mansion right there on the water. They call it St. Jetersburg. That's what the mansion has been dubbed, St. Jetersburg. So I thought that was cool. The Brady family, they're really going to be roughing it during COVID-19. So everybody pray
for
them.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a look around the sports world. We will come back here on Sports 180. We do have some updated win total numbers for the 2020 college football season. What's being said about Tennessee? What about Tennessee's opponents in the SEC? We'll have that for you when we come back. We will have Chris Lofton join us at 12:30 for our Call of All segment. Load it up here on Sports 180. This is FM 99.1, the sports animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We will be with you until 3 o'clock. Chris Lofton, don't miss him, coming up at 12:30. He had quite a run at Tennessee. We'll talk to him about his pro career as well. We'll look back, traveling down memory lane. It is a theme right now. We'll look forward to doing that with Chris Lofton, one of the best ever to play basketball for the University of Tennessee. And again, we'll be here until 3. That's when Sports Talk will take over this afternoon. Alongside Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward. You can always find us online, 991thesportsanimal.com, and on the WNML app. I saw that DraftKings has put out its win totals for the 2020 college football season. Heather Harrington, the number they have set for the Tennessee Volunteers is 7. Over under 7 wins for Tennessee this upcoming year. What do you think when you hear that number?
Well, just knowing the state of everything going on right now, honestly, it makes me want to take the under on every line. I think this is going to be such an interesting season where you have maybe a couple more teams just stub their toes because they didn't get some of the kinks worked out during spring and over the summer. So I tend to be a little risk averse in this conversation in thinking that teams will be highly successful, and that's just because of the limited time that they've been able to practice. So I would lean toward – I wish it was at 7.5 because I'd like to take the 7, but I guess if I have to pick an over or an under – I would lean towards the under at this point, and I know nobody wants to hear that because then you're talking about being 6-6.
Yes, that is the follow-up I have. Yeah. 6-6, I don't think would be met with too much favor after 7-5, 8-5 with the bowl win in 2019.
Yeah, and I really do think that they'll be like a 7-5 team, but you can't take the 7. So with them taking that off the table, that's really hard. And I don't... I don't feel like saying that they're going to be an 8-4 team because of all the challenges that this season is going to, and this is for everybody. I mean, I'm not just talking about the Vols. I also have a hard time. I think Alabama was, what, 10.5? I would take the under there. Just there's going to be some curve when you're getting back into football shape, and how much time are they going to give these guys? Are they going to be starting the season in October or November? I mean, there's just a lot to lay out here. If we were talking about a normal off season and Harrison Bailey was progressing nicely and we were getting little nuggets about how the offensive line was coming together and just all the different kind of areas that we have question marks about, if we were in week 3 of spring practice right now, I would be full on taking the over. So it's really just a victim of circumstance right now. That's what my prediction for the season. I'm just being a little shy on wanting to take the over.
This is, of course, relying on 12 games being played. If you had a reduced schedule, then the numbers would change as well. Some comparable numbers for you. Tennessee at 7 as the over-under regular season win total from DraftKings. Florida and Georgia both at 10. Now, the over 10 for Georgia is minus 121. Over 10 for Florida is plus 100. So the odds there, I guess, have Georgia more likely to go over 10. Kentucky is at 6.5. Missouri is at 7, a little higher for Missouri than I would have thought. I would have, in fact, expect those to at least be flip-flop. Kentucky at 7, Missouri at 6.5. South Carolina with another tough schedule coming up and a disappointing 2019 season behind the Gamecocks at 5.5. So getting to a bowl game this year would be hitting the over for South Carolina. And by the way, over is plus 110, so under the more likely number there. From the West, as you mentioned, Alabama is at over 10.5, a 10.5 over under. LSU is at 9. Auburn is at 9. Texas A&M actually has the second highest number in the SEC West at 9.5. So it goes Bama 10.5, A&M 9.5. Auburn and LSU at 9, and then you have some low numbers. Arkansas at 3.5, Ole Miss at 5.5. Let's see. Try to find Mississippi State for you. It's not going to be that high either.
They're seven.
They're 7, okay.
Yep.
And then Vanderbilt's at 3.
Ooh, woof. The Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt's not going to have an excuse like Arkansas is with just rebuilding the program and having a first-time head coach. And there are so many different ways this conversation could go, but I just wonder how much time Derek Mason does have coaching the Commodores there in Nashville. And I mean, are any big decisions going to be made after this season? I don't even know. I mean, if this season is kind of like thrown together and people are just kind of stumbling and bumbling through it, maybe nobody really loses their job and they just consider this year a wash and on to the next year. So, I mean, I wouldn't really want to hold.
If this season is played in full, no, then I think at the end we'll be close to business as usual.
Okay.
Especially for somebody who, if they've been, maybe not for a first-year coach, but for somebody who's been there 5+ years,
okay,
I think that you'll see a different story.
That was going to
be basketball, my follow-up. We've seen some basketball coaching changes. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was wondering, I mean, I don't think, like Eli Drinkwitz and Sam Pittman, whatever they can do, I think should just be, it's almost like week zero. You know how you count week zero, or they used to in high school football? To kind of start that it's just year zero. Whatever happens, it happens. You've been dealt just an extremely difficult hand at this point. I don't know what kind of expectations you could even put on those programs. So I feel like whatever you do, just get through this year, recruit at a high level, and let's go from there.
Yeah. Now, one thing that would have to be considered would be the financial side. If you have to buy out a contract and you don't have the money for it, that's something that could come into play. But on the field, production and performance, I do think we'll still factor in if they have a season on the field. And that, of course, is an important part of the conversation as well. We're going to shift the conversation to Tennessee basketball when we come back. Chris Lofton will join us for our Call of All segment. Look forward to talking to him when we return with the Midday Sports Minute right here for you on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us as we are here until 3 o'clock. Scheduled to be joined by Chris Lofton for our Call of All segment coming up in just a moment. Alongside Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg with us as well. Chris Lofton, one of the best players in Tennessee basketball history, one of the most likable players in Tennessee history, and also a part of one of the most entertaining times in Tennessee basketball history. Those first three seasons with Bruce Pearl as Tennessee's basketball coach. He arrived with Buzz Peterson as the coach and then really took off under the leadership with Bruce Pearl heading up the program.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a fan favorite, one of the I mean, you talk about the heyday of Tennessee basketball or one of your favorite basketball players of all time. And Chris, his name is going to come up time and time again. And the fact that he was an All-American, you know, two seasons and some of the shots that he pulled off. And then when you find out also that he had battled and beaten cancer while being a student athlete on campus, I mean, that is just, it just goes to show, like, wow, we as humans can do some amazing things, and some people can just do some more amazing things. I mean, that was just an incredible feat for him to come back and play that next season. And it's just a remarkable story from a guy out of Maysville, little kind of small town in Kentucky.
Yes. So Chris Lofton scheduled to join us coming up in just a moment, but we talked to Wayne Chisholm a few weeks ago. That's a guy that's going to rank high on the list of favorite players for Tennessee fans. Ron Slay has joined us during the college basketball season, so for sure he would be high on that list as well. And I think over the last 10 to 15 years, not every single season has been the same or at the highest level for sure, but I think the fans have become even more strongly connected to Tennessee basketball, and winning has to be a part of that. Fans wouldn't be as excited about it if they're not also getting the results, but the results have been there, the personality's been there, and that all goes together.
Yeah, it does. And so the fact that you had the highs under Bruce Pearl, then you had Konzo Martin going back to the Sweet 16, and then a little bit of a down dip, and Rick Barnes has come in, and that fire was burning, and it was smoldering, and he just poured some gasoline on it, and bam, it's right back up there. So I think if you're talking about your favorite players over the last 20 years, Chris Lofton's there, and then Grant Williams.
Let's welcome Chris to the show now. Chris Lofton joins us for our Call of All segment, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Hey, Chris, we appreciate you taking some time. How are you?
I'm great. Appreciate y'all having me. Looking forward to it.
Hey, and first of all, just kind of update us. What have you been doing most recently basketball-wise? Where are you now? But kind of catch us up on what's going on with Chris Lofton.
Well, most recently I was in South Korea last year. And this year I was supposed to be possibly going to Puerto Rico, like for the month of March, but you know, this coronavirus basically stopped everything. So now I'm just here, and I'm in Lexington, Kentucky right now, just quarantine and just bored, actually, you know, just taking it easy and just trying to avoid the virus.
Yeah, you've been a guy that has been so active since college, playing on the professional level. I mean, just what have you been doing to keep your time occupied and just kind of navigate through this weird time that we're all experiencing right now?
I've been watching a lot of Netflix, I tell you that. Been doing some in-home workouts, going outside a little bit too. Just doing a lot of, you know, push-ups, crunches, just step-ups. I mean, just different variations. Just for me, it's just trying to get a sweat in. You know, I was home, actually in my hometown of Maysville, my parents' house, for a few days. So I was actually riding a bike for a few days there. So that was fun. You know, I haven't rode a bike in a long time, so you know, it was fun to ride around the old neighborhood and, you know, see people.
Chris Lofton is on with us. So have you gotten into Tiger King, or what has been the top Netflix choice so far for Chris Lofton?
Oh, no.
I watched Tiger King. I guess it was about a week or week and a half ago, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. So you were an early adopter. By the way, I'm only a few episodes in, so don't give us any spoilers here. But it's madness, and it's taken over the country. At least Tiger King has.
Yes, it is. It's crazy. I mean, it's so crazy, but it's so interesting. So you got to keep watching. That's how it was.
Yeah.
And you know, it was I mean, I wouldn't say it was a good show, but it was just interesting and crazy. So it's enough to keep you watching.
Well, going back in time, getting in our time machine, Chris, playing at the University of Tennessee, you know, you are somebody that we constantly, especially right now when no live sports going on, we're constantly looking at the past and remembering some of those moments under Bruce Pearl, and that's been something that we have been doing lately. And just can you comment on, like, what stands out to you about your time at the University of Tennessee, and especially now that you're so far removed from it, just what do you look back on and remember the most about playing at UT and playing for Bruce Pearl?
Just from my standpoint, it's just how, like, my teams, we got better each and every year. You know, each year we played better, I feel like, and you made a drastic jump in our wins and just how we, like, my group, like, our group, you know, with me, Dane, Jordan, and Jawan, like, we were there the whole time. And for us to, like, my freshman year, we were 14-17, and it was just a bad year, a bad season, and it was very tough on me because I come from a winning school in high school, so I didn't lose a lot. So for me to lose 17 games that first year, it was tough, but, you know, it was part of the process. And, you know, I was tempted to transfer. You know, I had schools calling and wanted me to transfer, and, you know, Bruce Pearl got the job, and we just sit and talk. And, you know, I looked at his track record and how everywhere he goes, he wins, and I just felt like it was best for me to stay, and, you know, that was the best decision of my life for sure. And I look back on my time at UT, and I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Like, you know, growing up as a Kentucky kid, you want to go to Kentucky or Louisville, but, you know, Tennessee was the perfect place for me, and I'm blessed that God, you know, gave me a chance to play there.
We're talking to Chris Lofton here on Sports 180, and after Bruce Pearl had taken over, Chris, do you remember when you thought, hey, we have something here, this program is about to turn things around, and we're about to head in the right kind of direction? Do you remember when you really believed that was the case?
Yeah, I remember. So he first got the job, so there was a time, there was like a week where we didn't have a coach at the time. Like, we did not have a coach. So, you know, guys were, you know, like, doing their own thing and, you know, skipping class and, you know, skipping study hall. And because we were like, nobody cares because we don't have a coach. So Bruce got the job, and our academic advisor, like, told Bruce everything. Like, I got in trouble because I went to study hall, but I left early. You know, like, So, other guys were skipping class, and, you know, everybody did something. So Bruce gets the job, and our advisor tells him that. So the next morning, he makes all of us run at, like, 5 a.m. the next morning. The first day we meet him, he tells us, okay, who was skipping class? You such and such? Are you skip study hall? Like, he made us all run at 5 the next morning. So it was, like, you could tell, like, he was real. Like, he was disciplined. He was ready. Like, he didn't play any games, and that, you know, it started in the classroom and it carried over. So he made that statement from the start, you know, that, you know, we're going to do everything at a high level here, including, you know, off the court and on the court. That was really, like, over my.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, do you remember what the team's reaction was to that, and what y'all said after that moment in time?
No, I mean, everybody's eyes was just, like, big, like, what? And, like, I remember afterwards, I remember I didn't miss another study hall, I'll tell you that.
Chris Lofton is on with us here on Sports 180. Is there a game or a play that most often comes up if you meet a Tennessee fan or somebody brings up your playing days at UT? Is there one or two that comes up most often?
Yeah, the number one is the shot I hit over Kevin Durant. That comes up all the time. You know, people, you know, walk up to me and tell me that, and they tag me on Twitter and Instagram. So that's probably the number one shot, you know, like, people ask me most about.
What about when you were playing? Who was the team that you liked to play the most? I would imagine being a kid raised in Kentucky, you always had those games circled on your calendar, but is that the case, or did you have somebody else that you really got up for in particular?
Well, yeah, Kentucky for sure, one of them, and I also like playing against Florida too. You know, I love Florida. They were always great, great team. And, you know, I love playing at their arena. I think it was the O'Connell Center back then. I don't know if it's still that now, but, you know, that arena was always fun to play in. The fans were always hostile and just great environments.
Yeah, I don't remember this. Chris, did you ever gator chomp against the Gators if you had a big game against them? You know, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, and those guys, they did it a year ago down in Florida. Did you ever gator chomp against them?
No, I did never do that. But I love Grant Admiral doing it, though. I loved it.
Yeah, we were pro. Yeah, we were very pro gator chomp on this. You would have gotten no criticism. Yeah.
Hey, and why do you think you played so well, shot so well in those big games against Florida, against Kentucky, against Texas? Why were you able to step up to that occasion so often?
I don't know, man. I put in the work all throughout the summer and, you know, in the off season. And I just felt like I was ready for those moments. You know, I felt like I worked so hard that, like, when those moments came and my team needed a bucket, like, I was going to make something happen.
Hey, Chris, I want to ask you also about the other thing that gets associated with you, and it's just such an amazing story, in my opinion, that following the 2007 season, you found out that you had been diagnosed with cancer, and you battled that while still being a student athlete and going through that off season. Just can you walk us through what that experience was like and how it has made you the person that you are today?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, that was, you know, one of the toughest times of my life experience, just to, you know, find out you have cancer and just to, in that moment, you know, I didn't realize, like, a lot about cancer. Because, like, when I thought of cancer back at that time, it was like old people, you know, and like they were about to die. So, you know, when I was finding out I was diagnosed, that was the first thing I was like, I mean, I'm guess I'm, you know, about to die. And, you know, the doctors explained to me that it wasn't like that. Like, they found it early, so I would have to go through the radiation treatment and then I would be fine. So, you know, that was a relief. But, you know, at the same time, it was tough on me, especially my senior year, because I had lost so much weight and the radiation just, you know, made me real tired and weak. So it was tough my senior year not playing to the level I wanted to. But I was disappointed for sure, because, you know, our team was so good. Like, we were all coming back. We added, you know, Tyler Smith, and I felt like we could have really made a run in the tournament. And, you know, with me not being healthy, my 100%, it just hurt us. And it hurt me mentally for sure, and just not, you know, being able to perform like I did the year before. And, you know, as I look back, as I got older, I realized that it was all a part of God's plan. Like, for instance, like, still to this day, like, I get messages from cancer survivors saying, like, I inspired them, and, you know, they appreciate what I did my senior year. And so I looked at it as if, like, I was being very selfish back then, and now I look at it like, I was helping people out. Like, I inspired some people, and, you know, that's what it's all about, like, inspiring others, you know, not just being about yourself.
Did you think of redshirting at all that year to get that weight back, or were you very determined, like, hey, I beat this thing, I'm going to play my senior year? What were your thoughts going into that last year?
Yeah, that was my thought. I remember, like, halfway, like, in December, Bruce called me in and asked me to redshirt, and, you know, I was like, no, I don't want to. But looking back now, I wish I would have, you know, looking at the big picture. But I'm a firm believer in, like, you know, God always has a plan, and that everything happens for a reason. So I think he made me go through that just to, you know, help somebody else out that's going through it, you know, that's battling cancer, that's going through tough times, and know that, you know, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Just keep pushing through, keep fighting, and, you know, just keep believing and praying.
Yeah, Chris, we appreciate you filling us in on all that. Chris Lofton's on with us here on Sports 180. And to go back, what does it mean to you when you hear from people that they tell you you inspired them, and they take something from what you were able to do while you were playing at Tennessee and going through your battle with cancer? What's that meant to you?
I mean, it makes me feel great, more than any basketball game could, because, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's all about, like, helping other people. You know, I think we're all like selfish, which I am too, no doubt, especially at that time I was. We're all like selfish, and I think it's all about helping other people and bringing people with you, you know, not just yourself. And just that, I feel like that's what it's all about, you know. Like, I've read some stuff, and like, you know, my favorite player growing up was Kobe Bryant, and I remember he said that it's all about, you know, helping people, like inspiring the next generation. He talked about how he was so like fixated on winning, you know, 6 championships and being the best, and he realized like that means nothing. He's like, it was all about like bringing other people and inspiring the next generation.
Well, Chris, you've definitely done that, and we'll bring it back to basketball. I do have to ask you this, Chris. A former Tennessee player, Bobby Mays, made an announcement not too long ago that Tennessee's going to have a team in the basketball tournament. Have you talked about joining up with the team? Can you fill us in on any of that with the behind-the-scenes talk with the TBT scheduled in August?
Yeah. I've talked to Bobby about it. We're seeing how it's going to work out. So hopefully we can all work out and, you know, put a great team together for Knoxville.
Yeah. Do you have any dream partners that you're trying to recruit actively to get involved in this? I know we talked to Weezy in Saudi Arabia a couple of weeks ago, and he had just won a championship. So I'm maybe throwing his name out there. But are there any people specifically that you're like, hey, we've got to recruit them and see if we can get them involved?
Not really. I'm just listening to Bobby. Bobby's a man, you know. Bobby's got well connected, so he knows everybody. So whatever team he puts out there, I know it's going to be a great one.
Hey, Chris, do you have a favorite overseas story, favorite or least favorite, depending on how you would tell the story? But anything that stands out from your professional career so far overseas?
Oh yeah, man. The fans, like the team I played for in Turkey, was called Beşiktaş, and we were on a road trip. And I remember getting to the hotel. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. So we pull up to the hotel, and our fans are outside jumping up and down, like screaming, like waiting for us to get there. And I was just like, oh, this is unmatched. Like, it's like 2 in the morning, and our fans are just going crazy, just jumping up and down. And, you know, it showed me their passion and how they care about their sports teams. I have a video. I have to try to find it, and I can send it to you.
Oh,
yeah,
that's cool.
We want to see that for sure. How do Turkey fans in Turkey compare to Big Orange Tennessee fans?
Oh man, I love my Big Orange fans. It's different comparison. You know, this is a professional team, and
yeah,
you know, Tennessee's college, but there's nothing like those Tennessee fans. I'll tell you that. There's nothing like it. I tell you.
Well, it also does go to show that everybody, all of us collectively around the world, are just missing sports right now. Like, this is just a world of stink.
So true. It's so sad. It's like I don't know what to do with myself, you know?
Yeah, that's when Tiger King comes into play.
right.
And you know what? And I think you've been tagged on this, but yeah, go ahead.
Have you watched The Ozark?
You know what's funny? My wife and I, we put that up number one on our queue list. So that's actually next for what we're trying to run through. We're watching Jack Ryan right now. So just to update you on our list, we're watching that on Amazon. And then we're going to go to Ozark, I think, and start that up next. So is that a recommendation?
Yes, that's my favorite. That's probably my favorite show right now.
Okay. Well, I'll go tell Kelly. She's downstairs. We're doing the broadcast from home as well, Chris. So I'll go tell her, hey, put Ozark up number one on the queue list. Chris Lofton just gave it the seal of approval. And I will say, I know you've seen it on Twitter. A bunch of just highlights are being shown and former games and all that stuff. So I know you get tagged on Tennessee fans sharing favorite moments. I think the Memphis game not too long ago. But that's something that fans are looking for as well right now.
Yes, it's been fun. I hope they keep showing the old Tennessee games. I was actually at home, and I found some old games on YouTube I was watching.
Yeah, we're all trying to fill the time. Chris Lofton included on that. And hey, Chris, we appreciate you taking so much time to join us. It's great to catch up with you. Hope we can do it again sometime soon. But thanks for talking to us about your career at Tennessee and everything that you went through. We really enjoyed it.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all. Heather?
Yes.
Okay, I just... Was that you that sent me the message on Instagram about this radio show?
Yes. I had to go to the DMs. I'm so sorry. I had put out feelers. This is Justine Brown's fault. I'll just go ahead and say on public radio, she was supposed to be hooking me up with you, and she dropped the ball. But so my girl Justine. So that's why I had to hit up the DMs. So I apologize, but thank you.
You should not. You can't trust that girl anyway. You can't. You really can't.
Nah, but you know what? To still a Bertelkamp line, especially with Chris Lofton involved, was money. So it set the interview up. So we appreciate it.
Sounds good. Yeah, Heather, I sent that video. Y'all can look at it. I found it and I sent it to your Instagram.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. We will definitely share that. That is awesome. Thank you so much.
We will for sure. Right, hey, Chris, thanks again for. Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, Chris. Chris Lofton with us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Really enjoyed that hit.
Oh, absolutely love that. And thanks so much to Chris. And the crazy thing was, is, you know, if they were playing right now, if COVID-19 had not taken over the world, we would have never been able to set this up. So that's another one of our little moral victories, silver linings, because he would have been, halfway around the world. And, I told you, you just, man, talking to him, it just makes you feel good. And what an incredible story that he has on so many levels. I mean, being an elite basketball player, being a cancer survivor, being an All-American and a professional overseas. It's just, wow, the accolades stack up, and they're only a portion of what a great person he is.
Yeah, one of the best, no doubt, in Tennessee basketball history, on the court and off the court. We'll come back here on Sports 180. I've blown our schedule out of the waters, but love talking to Chris right there. We'll come back. We'll hit the face-off next hour. We'll kind of catch you up on things coming up next right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us as we are with you until 3 o'clock. It'll be a short segment here to close things out with the first hour, and then we'll get back to business to start the 1 o'clock hour. Big thanks to Chris Lofton for joining us. If you missed any of the interview or you just want to listen again, Joel is producing as always. We'll get that up for you on the website on the WNML app. And we're in the middle of waiting on sports just like everybody else. Chris Lofton, he's on that list as he's talking about trying to find ways to stay sane, entertain himself, work out, and all that stuff. We'll say, though, Heather, weather is nice today. It's going to continue to get nicer. You can get out there and play golf, and we have a great opportunity for you with that.
We do. It's time to log on, 99.1thesportsanimal.com. $139 gets you more than $350 of golf in 2020. So the card is going to be good this year. It gets you 18 holes and a card at each participating course, and you can play some of East Tennessee's finest courses this year at more than 50% off. There's 15 courses that are split up onto two separate cards, so that means more value and more golf for 2020, and also a $10 off with your golf card, $10 off a purchase of $30 or more at Edwin Watts Golf. So all you have to do is show them that. But we've got Sevierville Golf Club, Three Ridges, the greens at Deerfield, Tennessee, Wild Laurel, Clinchview, Dandridge. You also have the links at Kahiti, Williams Creek, Toqua, Ruggles Ferry, Whittle Springs, Wood Lake Golf and Country Club, Patriot Hills, and Knox Municipal. So a lot of great courses on there. I know everybody's going to be ready to dust the clubs off, especially with days like today. Wow, you could be out there just in shorts and a long sleeve T-shirt. Playing and or long sleeve collared shirt, I should say, but it's about to be golf season, and looks like everybody's gonna be excited to get out. So log on 99.1thesportsanimal.com under the Sweet Deals tab. So click on Sweet Deals and you'll see it pop right up.
We have 2 hours of Sports 180 to go. We will come back. Joel Silverberg will set us up with the face off. Might we have found a new home for Antonio Brown? Maybe, maybe not. We'll come back with it right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.